You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And by the way, it's called a wildlife crossing. And this was in my stack from the LA Times this week.
A square and a rectangle, same thing.
They are called mule deer. And California had its first state-built wildlife highway crossing about a week ago.
Wait, no way. You're kidding.
And I know. I thought the same thing.
The first one?
I thought the same thing. And right after they put it up, this Facebook post has gone viral. They tracked several wild animals crossing over it. Like, they put it up, and let's say it was finished, and they brought down the barriers at 1 p.m. By 1:20, the wildlife cameras showed deer going doot.
Well, they've been waiting to cross and waiting for it to open.
Thank you.
Did they show the cougar sitting on the other side of it just waiting for a feast?
No, I told you. On the wildlife crossing bridge, there's a gentleman's agreement.
Okay.
That once you're, it's like a safe zone.
I know that nature would normally tell me to eat you right now.
Right, but we're on the wildlife crossing.
Since we're on the bridge, we all eat you on the other side.
Okay? It's gonna be
you
like
can
a,
go your way. I'm going to go my way.
It's going to be like a children's cartoon. We all get along.
So funny. Oh, I have a bunch of stuff to talk to you guys about this hour. We might just bounce for a little bit because there's such funny stuff in the news. I want to start because we had severe weather yesterday afternoon with a post that I think is important from Brian Busby. And I've lived here such a long time. You guys have too. But I don't know that we have a firm understanding when there's severe weather in the area just how big our metropolitan area is. And for anyone upset because we were watching a World Cup match and then it got put in picture in picture, yep. I feel so bad for Fox 4 right now because Channel 4 and Joe Lauria, they have the World Cup.
And FIFA, they did not get the two box yesterday
no,
with the severe
they
weather.
Did
they
not.
Went straight to full screen.
But we had like rotation and debris fields. What was it? Butler yesterday and Clinton and Pleasant Gap. Never heard of Pleasant Gap, by the way, until yesterday. Hope you guys are all safe today in the old Pleasant Gap.
Hopefully it's still pleasant.
People are upset, and I understand it. Why are you interrupting my TV when and this gap. Is in a town that's like way southeast of here? And I want to read to you what Brian posted because I truly think that it is important. We enjoy, here in Kansas City, 33 counties, which span 18,638 square miles. And that's not all. Wait until you hear this, because like I said, I've lived here a long time, and I was like, damn. He writes, one of the comments I occasionally see during severe weather coverage is, why are you covering a storm that's so far away from Kansas City? Don't those areas have their own TV stations? It's a fair question because most of us naturally think in terms of city limits and metro boundaries. It's easy to underestimate how far our viewing area, or I would add our listening area, truly extends. Kansas City is the nation's 33rd largest television market. And the KMBC viewing area includes 33 counties across Missouri and Kansas, approximately covering 18,600 square miles. That is larger than the states of Maryland and Delaware combined. The warning ticker only repeats the original warning text issued by the National Weather Service. It does not provide updated storm tracks, neighborhood-specific information, latest radar information, live reports, or changes in storm intensity. And by the way, most warnings are valid for about 30 minutes, he writes. And during that time, we have seen it happen in your own neighborhood. A lot can happen. In fact, we cut away to their coverage yesterday and kind of had an internal debate. I'm like, this is sort of moving out of the listening area, but if you're in your car, you're not watching Channel 9.
Yeah.
If you're in your car, we are one of the only lifelines for coverage.
Well, not to mention our airwaves do reach that far. There might be a little bit of breakup in there because it is so far away from where we're broadcasting. But as far as TV is concerned, I looked it up. The average DMA, the average market size for a TV broadcast, as 12 to 15 counties.
Yep.
The average county size is about 1,000 square miles.
Huge.
So we have 6,000 more miles
to cover.
KMBC does to cover than the average. we need to take that into account when we're considering, and to Brian's point, the tornado, I think it was last week that he was specifically referencing.
On the ground tornado, by the way.
Only really affected 0.0005% of that 18,000 square miles. Mm-hmm. But if you're one of those people that live in that short span, you need to know.
It's why we pull over for an ambulance. Does the medical emergency happening as the ambulance blares by and we all pull over to the right, does that medical emergency affect you? No. But when it does, when and if it does, you would pray that everybody gets out of the way so that you or your loved one can get to the ER safely and quickly.
From the text line, I live in Clinton. I really appreciated the coverage. We can gripe all we want to. Sports are just sports. With severe weather, it comes down to, in many cases, life.
Then why do we always feel like we have to apologize for it? Because I said this yesterday. I looked at Sam and I go, is this yet out of our listening area? And Sam said, when you mentioned it was starting to march out of our listening area, the text line exploded and said, no, I'm in Butler, we're listening. I'm in Clinton, we're listening. And I do believe during severe weather, one of the most dangerous places you can be is in your car. And in your car, once again, most of us don't have television sets. I actually hope that you don't. So, you know, we are here to provide that service.
And broadcasters and feel the need to apologize because inevitably somebody is going to get their underwear in a wad and have to send a nasty email to Facebook.
I've told this story before, but it really underscores what we're talking about. 9/11 is happening. Okay. We are in the middle of 9/11. It might have been 9/12. And our phone rang in the newsroom at the desk. And it was actually Micah that we had on the air about the raccoon bite the other day that answered the phone. And someone was furious that Dan Rather was on CBS News because it was preempting their soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's always going to be that person and we can't broadcast around that person. So if you're crazy, just be mad and be quiet about it. You don't have to call us.
Also from the text line, why can't they just switch the weather coverage over to their secondary signal? Because people go for the primary signal.
Well, number one, and number two, there are still people that don't get KCWE. Yeah.
And that's the whole point of these markets. They are huge geographical footprints. It's not just the 50 mile by 50 miles of the Kansas City metro. All across the country, these TV markets are very large, and that's the point.
So to all of our meteorologists,
thank you.
Don't apologize.
Thank you.
Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing the right thing.
I don't know that the weather maps always have to look so phallic. Outside of that, I have no complaints. Now, I find it funny, personally, every time I look and I see that gigantic...
It's always so perfect, too.
It is all... And it's always peach-colored. Can we not... Anyway,
fully functional.
Go ahead. It's not even a complaint. It's every time I'm like, there it is again.
I'm gonna.
For God's sakes, take cover.
I'm going to take the side of viewers here because sometimes it can go a little bit overboard.
Oh, at Channel 5 back in the day, there were signs everywhere that said, first on, last off.
Exactly.
And then someone changed the sign to wax on, wax off.
That's a ratings grab.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many times, yes, there might be some really bad, severe, dangerous weather in this area, far away from the center of the market. But maybe it's not, and maybe it's petering out.
I think it's gotten better, Dan.
They can.
Because people get so angry.
Scale it back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. 913-586-7798. A long-forgotten brand is bringing back the flip phone with no apps. And that means
please.
No weather app either. We're going to talk about this straight ahead. Tech-weary fans say they are relieved, quote, take my money. And when I tell you the very nostalgic name of the 80s tech firm that is bringing back the flip phone, you are going to crack up. And what else back from the 80s should we bring back? I got a long old list there. 913-586-7798. You can text that line. Sam will read your texts on the air, and we'll take your calls straight ahead on Dana and Parks. All right, speaking of playing in the band, listen to this. People Magazine picked this up, and it's local. Not a great spotlight on Kansas City here, but it's a funny story. Julie Williams was here on tour with the Dolly Parton Symphony Show. That's at Kauffman. Downtown. And she realized her phone that was in her backpack was no longer there. It was apparently stolen before she got to Kauffman at a workout class. So she figures out it's missing and immediately calls her dad, Michael, who happened to be in town visiting her for the performance. She says, I just feel so grateful. My dad was there. He lives in Florida. He's a big IT guy. The 63-year-old dad had already taken steps to secure his daughter's phone, making it almost impossible for anyone to access it. Like, remotely, he shut it down. According to the outlet, the person who stole the device had abandoned it in a sewer here in Kansas City. So the father-daughter duo tracked the phone down to the sewer and contacted Kansas City Public Works for help. Workers then opened access to the sewer, and Dad Michael climbed down and retrieved the phone.
I have no experience in that.
What is the worst thing you've done to find a phone, Sam?
For me, it wasn't a phone, but I did, in an apartment complex, remove a manhole cover.
No.
To climb down to get Mary Beth's keys because she got out of her car and dropped it straight down the storm drain.
Okay.
For the phone, I mean, I've had friends who were, you know.
Would you go into a porta potty?
Oh, heck no.
People have done it.
No. But I've had friends who were, you know, doing their business and there was floaties in there and they dropped it in the toilet. And they reached in and got it through the floaties.
2 second rule. Gross. I would just be careful. Obviously, he had people there helping, like all of those things. But some of those can be dangerous.
Yeah, well, going underground, seeing all the stories out of New York
with the gases and the weird people that are down in the sewer people. Mm-hmm. You could encounter a sewer person.
Would you reach into a toilet for
your phone? Oh, for my phone. I thought you were going to say a public toilet. I don't know. The phones are waterproof now.
They are.
I didn't even know that. I had my phone the other day, and I just quickly dropped it. I think it was in a glass of water. It was in glass water.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, and I'm shaking. And then the phone was fine, and I told someone later, I dropped my phone in a glass of water. It was like 3 weeks ago.
They're all waterproof.
And it's fine. Now. And someone goes, Dana, they're waterproof now. Yeah. I thought I had to put it in rice or a bag. Or like,
Would you flush first and hope the phone didn't go down the drain?
No.
Or would you just say, you know what?
And if I was at home, you can also go get rubber gloves if you have like kitchen gloves, which I have.
I don't want to touch that gloves. Yeah. Which are usually used for mice.
Brings me to our next topic.
Oh, from the text line, I retrieved my phone from the toilet at the Renfest.
No. Oh, gross.
From the text line, buying a new phone is a lot cheaper than treating tuberculosis.
I was just going to say, you don't even know all of the bad multisyllabic words of things that you could get putting your hand in there.
Well, and if we're being honest, the reality is that our phones are already the germiest thing that we touch every
single day. Oh, sure they are. But they're my germs, Sam. Right. I don't need like Bob that's just gnawing on a turkey leg at the Renfest germs on me.
Y'all better watch out. I'm about to blow this.
So we're about to blow it up. We told you before the break, a long-forgotten brand is actually bringing back the flip phone, which, as flip phones were known to be, have zero apps on them, not a single app. And tech-weary fans are relieved. They are saying, take my money. Nostalgic 80s tech firm Commodore is hoping to combat tech addiction by releasing a retro flip phone that banishes social media apps. Dubbed the Commodore Callback 8020, the vintage phone reboot is billed as a retreat from Black Mirror technology designed to help you spend less time staring at a screen. This is brilliant.
I love it.
It is brilliant. The throwback perhaps marks a fitting release for a nostalgic company that kickstarted the PC revolution with, remember this, the Commodore 64.
Mm-hmm.
The Callback will be available later this year. It facilitates digital detox by using patent-pending technology to block web browsers block social media at the system level.
Why is that patent-pending technology?
I don't know.
You just don't allow it to...
The catch is, this says the mobile methadone, very funny, does offer internet connectivity, ostensibly offering the full functionality of a modern phone without the risk of screen addiction. So you still have to have connectivity. You just don't have the apps loaded onto it.
And the reason you need connectivity is
to
because
call 911.
Well, and it's also because of how all of the messaging systems work now. Android recently switched over to a data-driven messaging system. iPhone's been running their iMessage forever. So if you want to freely communicate via text message with those people without causing major hiccups, you have to have internet connectivity. But I remember...
Can you voice text with that? Because that was always the problem with the flip phone, Sam. It would take me 19 hours to text you, okay.
In theory, you should be able to. Yeah. But when I had my first LG Slide was my first ever phone. Not quite a flip phone, but it did not... It was not a smartphone in any way, shape, or form. And it still, there was a little icon where I could click on the internet, and with T9, I could type in a website,
oh, yeah.
And it would pull up the website, and then we'd get a bill for $700. But
when I get back, you guys listen to me. If you have a flip phone, if you would go back and purchase a flip phone, we want to hear from you. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you how much this thing costs. Your jaw is going to hit the floor. If you think this is going to be something... that because this is old technology, it's going to be $50. You are sorely mistaken. You are going,
really?
It's a lot more money than I thought it would be.
Okay.
And I mean a lot more than I thought it would be. But what are you willing to pay for the digital detox where you could still be in touch with your children? It's a great idea for teenagers. You don't want them on their apps. You don't want them on their phone. Fine. Let the schools, let the teenagers have the flip phone. They can text. They can call you in an emergency. No apps. It is brilliant.
Oh, I'll poke holes in this when we get back.
All right, 913-586-7798. Phones are already ringing. You're listening to Dana and Parks. All right. What would you pay to go back to the days before apps on your phone? You would have every single opportunity to call for help in an emergency, to call your loved ones. You could talk for hours on this phone. You could text. It might take some getting used to because you got the little button things.
You could master T9 texting
again. You could.
Yeah.
But we all got really good at that back in the day. Remember the Crackberry that Barack Obama had?
I was so good at T9 texting that I could text an entire message in my pocket without removing my phone from my pocket.
Oh, that's like CIA level stuff. So long forgotten brand Commodore, as in, yes, the Commodore 64, is coming out with the Commodore Callback 8020. And people are saying, take my money now. I'm tired of the tech. If you watch Black Mirror, you know why. It's leading to some serious concerning things. And with our kids, it is leading to concerning things. To the point that the schools are like, we don't want phones in schools anymore. But as a parent, I will tell you, I would want that flip phone in that school all day long. The problem with the phones in schools, the doom scrolling and the Instagram and the Snapchat. This just allows them to have a phone to call in an emergency.
Yeah, you're not going to the bathroom to film TikToks with your friends with your flip phone.
You're not. Yeah. So why not allow these in schools?
I mean, in theory, that could be a way around it. Of course, the issue being that, as you mentioned, the phone still has the ability to access the internet, the ability to access the apps. It just doesn't come with it. I'm more intrigued by the price that you're talking about. What is the price
point? Right.
What do they think they can get for it? Because right now, I mean, there are a number of phone companies out there that sell flip phones. Motorola, formerly known for the Razr, which was the most popular flip phone for like 10 years, has a new Razr, the Razr Plus. Now, it is a smartphone. It is a touchscreen, but it still flips.
Don't get any ideas about importing blacklisted apps. Callback users are allowed to sideload platforms not available at the firm's Commodore, meaning on the off chance that someone does get TikTok or another service installed, you won't be able to use it because this Commodore phone, you guys, has blocked it at the DNS level. I don't know what DNS means, but it basically means you're not going to be able to use it. You can download it. It's not going to work. DNS, do not scroll. That's what we're going to call DNS. Boom. Completing this retro effect is a minimalist clamshell design that harks back to the Nokia flip phone from the turn of the millennium. Here's the problem. The total price is somewhere between $500 and $640.
Yeah, no, thank you. There are smartphones that are cheaper.
Many people are saying the nostalgia is not worth the squeeze. You had me at flip phone. You had me at block social media. You lost me at $500.
You can get a track phone, blue flex flip phone. Care to guess the price at Best Buy?
I don't know.
$29.
Are you serious?
$29.
Let's go to Brian and Waldo. Then why is this one $600? Look it up.
I don't know.
Hey, Brian, go ahead.
So check this out. I read this. I read about it this morning too. The phone sounds amazing. The operating system on the phone is like a cell phone version of Linux, which is kind of like the base version of Android.
Yeah.
You can still put apps on it, like download them and then sideload them as if you will. The camera on it as well is a 48 megapixel camera. So if you're looking to not take crap, like you're not going to take cell phone pictures, like the, you know, flip phone pictures, you'll take solid pictures with it.
So wait, Brian, I don't understand megapixel. You're saying the camera on it is good.
It will take pictures that will look decent on Instagram, Snapchat, or anything social for kids.
To put it in perspective, I have the newest Samsung, which is known for having the better cameras of the smartphones.
Yeah,
mine's only 50 megapixels.
Okay, and this one's what? Say it again, Brian.
It's 48. Now, the camera and the lenses, they're not going to be, like, shooting, like, as Sam said, like a Samsung.
Right.
It's still going to kind of look like shooting like they're a plastic camera. But at least if you wanted to post on social, you still could. Or send to friends that, you know, that are still rocking an iPhone, a Samsung, or whatever they want. And you're not feeling so left out of the way, left out there.
But it says you can't doom scroll. This says you cannot doom scroll.
You're right. No, you are absolutely right. The program on it starts at it's a very basic version of like what Android starts out as.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you can go the long route, download those programs that are not in the Google App Store and things like that. Download them to your phone and still install it and go like the nerd way. The way I explained to Sam is, do you remember the TI-89 calculators we had in school?
Yes, absolutely.
So it'd be the same. Think of that, where you could kind of put in your own games, but like, you know, a long time ago where you had to, you know, download them and stuff like that. Think same idea with the cell phone. So it's going to come out like a, you know, flip phone. But if you want to not have to do all the social aspect of it, you don't have to. You can just go back to T9 and try to type in all that jazz. But if you're enthusiastic enough, or if you really want to get there, you could also bring it up to the notch of something serviceable. So that's kind of back to when you're talking about how much it costs.
Yeah,
that's kind of you're paying for the potential of what you could do with it.
But the whole point is to not do those things with it.
I know, but some people want to do silly things, like say take a calculator and play Mario Brothers on it.
Did you see, Brian, it also includes a built-in FM radio? I am dying. You could listen to Dana and Parks.
Dude, I kid you not. Plugging in a set of headphones back into a phone just to listen to stuff, no said.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you know, though, when you text, because this has physical numbers that you press, the screen is at the top of the flip phone, the numbers are at the bottom, and it's just a phone that you would hit send, and then it's 1234567890 and the pound sign. Do you have to text using the numbers, or does the screen a touch screen at the top?
You know what? That one I didn't read far. I'll be honest, I didn't read that far in. I think it's going to be like still a T9 screen. I don't
think
it's
old school. Okay.
You know what? I hope so, just because I miss doing that. Not going to lie.
Yeah, but remember, Brian, you would have to scroll. Like if you want to send something that starts with the letter B, you have to press 2 twice. And then if you've got to go O, you've got to press 6 3 times. Like it does take longer.
Oh, no, it's the same. I completely agree. It's like, remember, like, it's like when you're typing your password on the computer
yeah.
and you get halfway through and you think you missed a character, you're like, oh, crap, I got to delete everything again. No. I completely remember it. I remember doing the, having my, I used to have like a big, like one of those chunky bar Nokias. I'll be quick, I'm sorry. And I used to remember having the phone on my side, guessing where the number was, because it had that little knobby one, the nubby one in the middle. So you knew where it was. And then you could guess, be like, all right, not look at anybody. You're staring at the front and center. No one could tell. Boom.
Brian, I love you so much right now. Thank you for the nostalgia. And by the way, one of the designs of the new Commodore, when the phone is shut, the flip is shut, it says Commodore at the top. The only thing that you can see on the exterior of the flip phone is the date and the time.
Yeah.
That's it. But it's in the classic 1970s brown, like brown.
Amber almost.
Amber.
Yeah.
There's some yellow on it.
Like blocky text.
They have block text. It really looks like the old Commodore 64.
Now, it looks super cool. And to confirm some of the questions, that, or to answer some of the questions that you guys were asking, it is not a touch screen. It requires T9 texting if you are going to be typing anything out. But the problem is, and the reason it's still $600, is it's still a smartphone. So it still runs 99% of apps that you can find on the Play Store. It just won't allow you to download the social media apps. So why not just buy a cheap smartphone?
Right.
And then block the social media apps.
Why do you think they made it brown and mustard yellow in the and orange straight out of the Brady Bunch in the 1970s? They
nostalgia.
Are selling the nostalgia.
And for $600?
I know. And what's funny is, Sam, I would rather have the nostalgia without the ability to put that stuff on it, except, ooh, this is where they're going to get you. What if I want the weather app? I want my radar.
You get the weather app.
You get radar?
You can download 99% of apps. The only apps that it blocks are the social media. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
I'm
those
in.
Are the only apps that it blocks. So why are you spending $600 on a flip phone then? I mean, there are cheaper Samsungs out there that you can get for $70 that are still a smartphone. You
because
can access
you
the internet.
Be able
you can
to
access
say,
your email.
You wouldn't be able to say, pardon me, would you like to see my Commodore 64? And
no.
Then unfurl the flip.
And get it right, by the way.
You know people would be coming up to you in a bar or restaurant and being like, what is that and where did you get it?
You got to get it right. It's not the Commodore 64. It's the Commodore 8020.
They should have called it the 64.
So dumb.
913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. A couple of stories to pass along. Not looking to make these topics, but we got a Whopper coming up at 5 o'clock. Stick around for that. The Ferris wheel Penway Point property thing.
Yeah, that
all of
disaster.
It. Wah! Not just the Ferris wheel, the whole enchilada of the 3-acre property.
Remember, there was supposed to be basically an entire entertainment district below the Ferris wheel. Well, we got the Ferris wheel. Where's the entertainment district?
It's the Ferris wheel surrounded by nothing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well,
I believe
was
it was a
right
$4 million sale. The sale, which took place on June 8th and was recorded on June 12th, raises greater uncertainty regarding the future of Penway Point, the proposed entertainment district of bars and eateries that since 2022 has been promised.
Yep.
But no one has been able to deliver. Why would they not just build a bunch of chic, foofy condos, because everyone wants to live down there right now. The demand to live downtown and Crossroads.
You mean take down the Ferris wheel?
West Bottoms. No, build it up around it.
I'm all for that.
Build it up around it. Now, you would have to have blackout curtains because that thing shines neon 24/7. But, like, you know, you could actually make that a cool residential spot. I don't know that there's enough room for another entertainment district adjacent to the one entertainment district that's adjacent to the next. That's
right.
I mean, maybe there is, I don't know. But condos, you can sell those.
Well, obviously, their initial hopes for the successes of the Ferris wheel are not panning out. It seems to me like their initial plan was to go ahead and get the Ferris wheel built and then use those profits to pay for the rest of the development. Because clearly they didn't have the money for it. Are they not getting those profits? Are people not riding it as much as they thought they would? You remember they were supposed to build some awesome mini putt course below it.
Oh, there was going to be.
I played the mini putt course. It's not.
Yeah.
They're just wide open. There's like no obstacles. Mm. Anyway, to quit
it's
being
money.
A curmudgeon.
No, the answer's
positive.
Money. Hopefully someone will buy it. Whoever this was that, you know, mystery buyer or whatever.
Tear it down. Tear it down. We are just over 48 hours away from the next FIFA World Cup game here in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
And we are getting reports from KCI that a plane full of Curacaoans. Just landed at MCI.
Welcome to our country.
Dancing and having a party in the halls as they are making their way to the baggage claim and into Kansas City to get ready to watch the game on Saturday. Curacaoans in town.
Welcome to Kansas City. Go ride the Ferris wheel. There's nothing else around there, but you could go ride the Ferris wheel.
You could just stay on it. Just pay them for another ride, and just nobody else is in line, so just keep on riding it.
So funny.
It's all you.
It's all money. It's all going to be money. I'm sure it'll be fine. And speaking of money, remember the name Floyd Mayweather? He's like one of the most famous boxers of all time that's not named Mike Tyson or George Foreman.
Goes by Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah. Well, we sure about that? Why don't we call him Floyd Bounced Check Mayweather? Oh my gosh. Boxer Floyd Mayweather is facing two felony charges alleging theft and intent to defraud by passing a bad check, wait for it, for $200,000. Now look, it's illegal to go to the grocery store and write a check for $34 if you don't have $34 in your account. And you know this. You're probably not going to be prosecuted the first time it happens, but you're going to get that $30 check fee. I don't even know what the check fee is when you write a check for $200,000, which you would have to write out $200,000 and no 100s, which would take a long time.
Yeah.
But A, why did they take the check? This was for a luxury watch.
Right.
If you said to me, Sam, I would like to sell you a luxury watch, and it's $200,000. And
right.
I said to you, do you take starter checks? The answer would probably be no, we're going to need cash or a cashier's check.
Now, I have no doubt that Floyd Mayweather has $200,000 laying around, considering how many millions he made off of his last boxing adventure. You use a lot of checks, buddy? Like, what's going on here? Why are we using checks?
The complaint alleges Bingo. The complaint alleges Mayweather wrote a $200,000 check from a Wells Fargo bank account to Gold and Beyond, a high-end Las Vegas resale boutique, for a fancy watch. The complaint alleges Mayweather wrote the check when he had insufficient money, property, or credit in the account to pay it in full.
AKA,
I'm telling you this, if he's found guilty, I don't think this is going to happen, but this is what the law says. Theoretically, one who writes a fake $200,000 check that bounces could face 1 to 4 years in prison and up to a $5,000 fine. It's felony theft. The watch was $200,000. The reason for the delay, by the way, in charges from the time of the purchase or attempted purchase of the watch is that it was Mayweather, and my guy trusted him. And once it bounced, we tried to give him every opportunity to make it right. And it got to the point where he wasn't getting responses and wasn't getting a dime for the watch. Mayweather had for more than 1 year.
How much did he
tell it to a judge?
Take off his last fight. How much money did Floyd Mayweather make off his last fight?
Well,
let's see what Gemini pulls up here. The exhibition match against Conor McGregor. Guaranteed base pay of $100 million. Total estimated earnings for one Floyd Money Mayweather was $280 million. Hey,
Wait. I know that you think he has money. He is the plaintiff in separate suits brought earlier this year against Showtime for $340 million, against his former business associates for $175 million. He's alleging fraud, which says to me he is broke. He's broke, Sam.
From the text line, Floyd Mayweather Parks over here, cutting checks.
I wonder if he has carbon copies underneath the check.
In his ledger.
913-586-7798. When we get back, the death of the dressing room. Would you buy something if you couldn't try it on? I know we do it all the time on Amazon. The death of the brick and mortar dressing room, and I bet you can guess why. We'll talk about it straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.